This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Difference. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host, Stel, and my guest is Epsilon Esports new signing, Connor Keys. Welcome to Shoot the Defense, Connor, and congrats on your first pro contract, mate. You must be delighted.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. Thank you for having me on here as well. Yeah, I'm over the moon with it. Really am.
Well, mate, it's your first pro contract. How did that signing go? Did you get the t-shirt and all that like they do in the press conferences in real football?
No, I have to go to the actual headquarters to get all the stuff sorted and stuff like that, but yeah, just signing for the esports team, my first ever esports team, you know, it's brilliant. It's honestly, you know, I didn't think I would do it, to be fair, but it's brilliant.
It's an exciting new adventure for you, and you know, I've spoken to a couple of pros at the moment who have signed up with teams, and some that have just left teams, and the whole contract negotiation process is a bit of a grey area for me. How did it work with you?
Well, I actually belong to an agency represents me. So the agency I represent is Bang Bang Management,
okay,
which they've got a representative for me. So I talk to organisations, clubs, etc., and they help finalise the deals in terms of what the player wants, what the agency gets out of it, and also what the organisation gets out of it as well. So similar to real life football, but you've got like your private agents, but except with FIFA, there's an agency where like there's a belonging of players, so there could be an agency up to, I don't know, 10 players or just 5 players, something like that, where you all belong to this specific agency, and then you all go from there and then talk about contracts to different clubs and organisations and such. And yeah, that's how it really happened, and we just went from there after Epsilon approached me and signed for them.
So I take it that more than one team was interested in you. Why Epsilon?
Because, well known in the FIFA scene, they have been for a couple of years now. Ever since they signed Guerrilla really was the main focus point of FIFA back in the day when it first started. And he was representing Epsilon for a good number. I think it was 2 years. And then they kept on signing good FIFA players, and those other FIFA players have moved on to specific journeys of their own. But I'm just happy to be a part of Epsilon, as you know, it's such a great name, such a great brand, and good exposure as well. You know, it's really good for myself and also the organisation as well. Hopefully I can represent them well in future tournaments.
Absolutely. I know they're doing a bit of work with Tony Watts of St Johnstone's. That's another exciting project that's going on there.
Yeah, exactly. A professional footballer as well, Scottish League. So yeah, it's good to see the organisations are getting involved with real life football as well, and it's not all just gaming based. So it's good to see that.
Absolutely. Well, let's take it back a few months, because I know you qualify for both the FUT Champions Cup competitions in Barcelona and Manchester, and also the ESWC France, and that was you being a free agent. I mean, that's some achievement, and one that's clearly caught Epsilon Esports' eye. Tell us about these experiences.
Well, firstly, with Barcelona, it came up to a qualification month for Barcelona. So 160 games, 5 FUT Champions. I won 151 and placed top 64. So my parents, everyone in my family didn't know anything about esports. I was kind of in the know because of the year beforehand in FIFA 17, where I was competing, I was getting top 100 finishes, but I was just not good enough to reach events. But then in FIFA 18, that luckily happened, where I reached my first event in Barcelona, placed top six, top 32 in Barcelona. Good experience. Lost to literally the last kick of the game as well to Dreamer, who qualified for the FIFA World Cup eventually. Was a little bit heartbreaking, to be fair, but learning from that experience just makes you stronger. And same for Manchester. I qualified through the top 64 as well. Didn't do quite as well in Manchester, just because I really don't know what happened. And then ESWC, really good tournament, beating some top players through online qualification to actually get to the tournament, where sadly it just didn't work out for me. But you know, getting to these tournaments and such is really good experience, crucial experience to hopefully make myself better and progress in future tournaments that are upcoming in FIFA 19 and other FIFAs, of course.
That's right, and I believe, was it in Manchester where your joypad packed up, and that kind of led to a downward spiral, so to speak?
I don't really like to use it as an excuse because, you know, it's just not one of those things where it should be used as an excuse at all, but it just played a factor in my head mentally, where in the warm-ups I'm playing with this specific controller, I'm playing really well against other people that are there on their merit, really good players as well, and it's just a shame just before the game even started to have the controller just pack up. It struck me mentally before even the tournament even kicked off, and from there it didn't improve until possibly the last day where I was settled. So I went from being settled to unsettled and settled again, but by the time I was settled again, I was too late.
Yeah, it goes down to the psychology of it, doesn't it? You know, you're totally in the zone, adrenaline flowing, and something like this happens and it kind of knocks you back. But I guess playing online against an opponent is very different to playing at a live competition. What do you think you learn most about playing in front of an audience?
Playing in front of the audience, just keep an edge, just play the same as you do at home, basically. Nothing changes, the game doesn't change, the setup just doesn't change whatsoever, it just all changes upstairs in your head. And if you've got that locked down in the mental side, then you'll progress far. And as long as you don't let anything else affect you, whether that be people watching you, people cheering you on and stuff, just don't let that affect you. And it's just blocking them out, really, and just make sure you just play your own game and stuff.
Fantastic. Well, I know you're quite young in comparison to many other pro gamers. How much pressure do you feel you're under to deliver some tournament victories for Epsilon?
I haven't really thought about it. It's not one of those things I really think about. It's more of in the moment. Like, I know what achievements I want to do this FIFA, but again, it's just in the moment. I know I'm capable of achieving good things, but I just need to make sure I get my head down, do it in the moment, and just completely focus. Because if my head's up in the sky, if my head's up in the clouds, then I don't think I'll achieve anything. I've just got to make sure I'm grounded, level-headed, and then hopefully good things will come. I don't feel entirely pressured, to be fair, at the minute, no.
That's a very mature answer, mate. Very mature answer. Who would you say has been your toughest opponent so far, then?
So, played so many good players this year, and FIFA 17 as well. I mean, the good players, I've Megabit for one, MS Basari, who obviously won. I only played him once, but back in FIFA 17 when I was playing him, I played him a lot of times in FIFA 17, and you could just tell he was just a different animal, different breed. Like, he was just so different in the way he plays, and just I think that can separate someone from winning a title to those just placing, just safe finishes and stuff like that. But Megabit, I think, is the one in terms of attacking and the way he defends, pressing game and stuff like that. It's incredible. Similar to Gorilla as well, I think. I haven't played Gorilla too much, but I've played him a few times, twice this year, I think, on FIFA. But obviously, as you know, Gorilla is one of the top dogs in FIFA. You know, really, really good. So yeah, those are two or three players that I personally think are the best players I've played in any FIFA, to be fair.
See, the thing is, when you look at the competition and the people that are playing FIFA professionally, there isn't like a massive gap between the best, is there? You know, you can't say that, you know, in real football, you could say that probably Ronaldo and Messi are by far the best players in the world at the moment. But at the moment in e-gaming or e-sports, shall I say, especially FIFA, there isn't a massive gap between the top five or six players, is there?
No, not necessarily. Like, the way I personally do it is I do it in tiers. So you've got like four tiers of pros, but it's hard to say because FIFA is just one of those games where anything can happen. So possibly a gorilla could play, I don't know, a person that gets a League One in Foot Champions one side, and gorilla might lose that game just to being unlucky or something like that. But that could happen at the very top level, as in football. But you're based off that performance, which is it's one of those things. But it's hard. It is hard to differentiate the top tier pros to the middle tier pros to the bottom tier pros. I don't know. It is really difficult, to be fair. It is really difficult. I'm not too sure.
Fair enough. That's another diplomatic answer. what do you make of the new FIFA 19 then? I believe you played the demo. Is that right?
Yeah. I've played the demo. Yeah.
What do you make of it? Any good?
It's Well, it's something to get used to, something to adapt. I think, obviously, people will take time to adapt. Pros will take time to adapt. It's all about who can adapt quickest, I think. If you adapt quickest, then you just see, like, you have your distinct style of play for the whole year, you'll do well, and if it beats other players, of course. I'm liking the changes to it, to be fair. I think defending feels more solid, passing feels more realistic now. Shooting is something to get used to. I think that's the big one, really, which will separate the players, because there's actually like a skill gap, so to speak, on the finishing. Dribbling feels okay. Goalkeeper's a bit iffy from time to time. Controlling the goalkeeper will be interesting as well. See who does that well and see who does that bad. That'll be very interesting. But no, it's a positive, to be fair. Positive. A few minor things, but I think they'll improve that with a few patches, possibly.
Mm. And what about the legends? Do you think they're going to... Well, have you seen any new legends?
All the legends look good. Like Eusebio, you've got Johan Cruyff, obviously, Rivaldo. These players are just... Sol Campbell back as well. Like, just these players just are looking good to use. But for me personally, I make sure I want to walk before I run. So I make sure I get my team there and then I look at the legends I could possibly get and stuff like that. But because I know these legends are going to cost so much coins and just so much time and effort is going to be put in to make sure I can get these cards and play well with them, of course. But now at the moment, I've only had a look at a few, but I haven't looked at them in detail to say, right, oh, I'm definitely going to get him or something. Because, as I said, just walk before I can run, basically. Get the team ready, and then hopefully in a few months coming, I can get these players.
You don't think they're going to bump up Ruud Gullit's stats because he's got his own team in these FIFA tournaments, do you?
I don't know. Always remain in the Gullit gang, will he? Above 80s and everything. Gullit's the main man in though, really, isn't he? He's just in every single FIFA team, he pretty much is. In every pros team, every casual team, if they'll put him in there, it's just... one of the best players in the game, really.
Mm, absolutely. Well, before I let you go, mate, what's your favourite team?
Favourite team? Liverpool. Liverpool FC.
Okay, and what do you make of the start of the season so far? 5 wins in 5. Looks pretty good.
Fantastic. Everything just starts from the defence. Defence wins titles, in my opinion. Defence does win titles, and Liverpool make sure they keep a clean sheet, only conceding 1 or 2 goals near the end. It's looking good, but obviously there's a tough test these upcoming 6-7 week games even. We'll see what happens, see what Liverpool are made of then, but no, it's all looking good and very good.
The thing is, when you look at that back line, it's a fairly inexperienced one when you take out Van Dijk and the goalkeeper, isn't it? You've got three very young players in you've got Robertson, the left back, you've got Gomez, who's been absolutely fantastic since he's come back into the starting lineup, and also Trent Alexander-Arnold at right back. How important is Van Dijk to Liverpool's title credentials?
No, he's a leader there, isn't he? He's your go-to man. Like, there's a problem in the defence, he's just there. He just makes sure he's the man of the team, basically. I think every player, he's basically like I see a similar situation with what happened with Vincent Kompany in Manchester City. Manchester City defensively were unbelievable. That's when Joe Hart was in his peak. Great players, and once they lost Kompany, I feel that City started to go downhill until obviously Guardiola came in and stuff. But I think that could be that's the sort of effect he has on us. If we lose him for possibly a few weeks due to injury, I don't think we'll get as far as we were talked about, basically. He's just really important to us, absolutely important.
Mm. And you can tell Klopp has been very, very shrewd in their transfer market. You know, that front three, you've got Mane, Firmino and Salah, absolutely blinding. But you can call upon Shaqiri if need be. And when Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain comes back from his injury, hopefully he'll recover and become the player that a lot of people think he'll be. Liverpool will be very, very serious, not just from a domestic front, but also in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. It's just... squad depth as well. I think Klopp has still got additions to make. I don't think this is his actual final squad. I think next year there could be one or two more additions to the team, depending on how we do this year. But yeah, it's brilliant. I just think back to at the start of last year when people were saying for Klopp, I think it was the start of last year or was the year before, where people weren't too sure on Klopp and so too sure where we were going in the direction. But it's just... It's mad to think how Liverpool have come so far. And keeping the front three as well is just vital for Liverpool, 100%. But yeah, the squad looks good. Everything looks good for Liverpool at the minute. No injuries so far. Hopefully, can keep that free. Just because if there's injuries, there will be maybe a few problems. But no, we're looking good for the season. So yeah, I'm optimistic of what can happen.
Joe, the one criticism I have of Klopp is perhaps he doesn't have a plan B. And I know it's easy for me to say, oh, well, maybe they should have a big man up front like, I don't know, Andy Carroll, because when they're chasing a game, they can hit it long. That's not Klopp's style, though, is it? Do you think he's got more to his game than just this rock and roll football gegenpressing style?
100%, 100%. I think I was watching a few tactical analysis a couple of weeks back on how he played and how he set up against Manchester City. He's so intelligent in the way he just sets up. Because he, instead of all this gegenpressing sort of thing, gives the players a break, lets them sit back, and instead of just constantly counter-attacking, it might be just 10 to 15 minutes of possession football. He breaks the game up into like little spaces. So you can have 10 to 15 minutes of pressing, 10 to 15 minutes of possession play, 10 to 15 minutes of solid defending, making sure you're absolutely solid, nothing gets behind you. I think he's very good at just breaking up the game into little parts, little segments. And people don't really see that, to be fair, from him. And I think that's why they criticise him for not having a plan B when he's got a plan A, B and C all in one game. So, yeah, I think he's top manager as well. Really top manager.
Fantastic. Well, Connor, it sounds like you've got an old head on young shoulders, mate. All the best for the future. I hope you have a fantastic FIFA 19 season. And I hope to have you back on the show at some point soon.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Anytime, mate. Before I let you go, tell our listeners your Twitter handle, mate.
At Epsilon underscore keys.
There you go. You had to add that Epsilon, didn't you? Yeah. Tell them who you are, where you're from. Wonderful. Well, guys, hope you enjoyed this interview. We're on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We have a Facebook group page. Please feel free to check us out. And also visit the FNX network, fnx.network, where you can listen to all of our previous shows, including interviews with Hibbity, with Kev XL, with Kurt Fenich. If you like esports, this is what we're focusing on at the moment. So until next time, guys, take care.